It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with episode 41, season 2 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, minus one of our members, Tony Stowers, on vacation, but we'll try to limp along without him.
Jeff Tuttle steps up to the co-host position.
Yeah.
I just want to know who doesn't schedule a vacation around this.
I don't understand that. Yeah,
You're not here, I start mine tomorrow.
Yeah.
You made it that
I know
way.
When you're going to start yours as soon as we cut off these mics.
Man, that's the secret's out now.
Yeah, but episode 41, we got a lot of stuff to talk about winding up. You know, some of the schools already finished with sports for the spring, but still some in the state championship hunts.
I was going to say, those that hadn't finished, they got big things.
That's right. They got big things to do, and we're going to talk about some of those things. But before we do that, we're going to talk about the number 41. You know, I've got a couple of favorites on this, and they're both Dallas related.
Yeah,
Dirk Nowitzki played for the Mavericks forever, won one championship, I believe. Should have won another one.
1998 to 2019.
Yeah,
did you spend them all with the Mavs?
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's a long time. Great player. German, by the way.
Yeah, Dirk.
Yeah,
Nowitzki.
14-time NBA All-Star.
Yeah. Dirk.
Yeah, he was good. Yeah. Charlie Waters, a great Cowboy safety, played back in the 70s. Remember him like it was yesterday.
Nobody else does, but go ahead.
You don't, do
I've
you?
Heard of him.
Yeah, I know. But a couple of other ones, you know, Wes Unseld, played for the Washington Bullets.
Okay.
Coached him too, I believe.
Yeah, he did.
And maybe got into the front office.
He may have. But, I mean, he was small, played center for the Washington Bullets, undersized, an amazing defensive player, and could score on people that were like 6 inches taller than him like it was nothing, which it was amazing to me. Tom Seaver, I guess he made his big news, his big deal was with the Mets, right? He was one with the 69 Mets when they won the World Series.
Yeah, and then he went, well.
I think he went to the Reds. I know.
He was with them. See this?
Yeah.
You know, I always get on Tony about this ranker.
Yeah.
And their numbers that let people don't. Mm-hmm. This ranker, you know, I looked at it last night too, shows his years active, 1976 to 1986. And I thought.
That's not right.
I thought that wasn't very long, but yeah, you're right. He was with those 69 Mets.
Yeah, he was with the 69 Miracle Mets. You know, but he ended up going to Cincinnati, right?
Yeah. And Cincinnati's probably where he made his biggest name, but he was on that World Series team.
Yeah. Yep, he was. And then for you old guys.
Oh, old? And what? Older than who?
Older than me, which means if you're.
What's a podcast? I can't.
Eddie Matthews.
Great actor.
In the Hall of Fame.
Great actor.
Yeah. In the Hall of Fame, great baseball player back in the 50s and early 60s.
Ah, so, before. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Jeff Reardon.
Greatest beard in baseball.
Yeah, he had the most perfectly groomed beard every time he played.
Not better than James Harden.
Oh, no.
I didn't even touch James Harden.
Oh, well, James Harden, that was not. That's a Lindley beard. That's an unkept mess, James Harden.
This
that's
is a when Paul beards, McCartney beard.
This yeah, is when beards weren't McCartney. Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, he all was right, doing that when beards weren't cool.
Yeah, you were just lazy.
He was doing that when the Yankees couldn't grow facial hair.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that was up until this year.
Yeah, that's right. But he was a great reliever for the Minnesota Twins. I believe he was there when they won their world championship in 1991 with Kirby Puckett. Yep. So
Chuck Knobloch.
Yep.
I can't name
long too many. Time ago, buddy.
I can't name too many of them.
And they had such weird names back then.
Yeah.
Knobloch is weird.
You said, what is Charlie
Chuck Knobloch?
Kirby Puckett?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, he's one of the all-time greats.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah.
He really was.
Why do I not know him?
Yeah. But moving on to the Razorbacks, the only one I came up with was Chris Walker.
I don't know who that is.
Hey, well, he played back in the time 88, 89, right, 90.
Basketball,
football. He played basketball for the Razorbacks when they went to the first Final Four with with
Day and Mayberry.
Yeah, Day and Mayberry when they were.
No wonder I don't know who he is.
Yeah, because he scored like 6-8 points a game. But I do remember him playing. He was from Pine Bluff.
There was a hockey player on the the ranker list. Come on, let's give this hockey player a shout out. He was the first hockey player on there. 22nd, Jaroslav Halak.
There you go.
Yeah.
Shout out to
Andy Hogg is the only person out there that knows who this is.
Well, at least somebody does because I sure don't. But enough about the number 41. Let's move on to the people we do know and the teams we know. We're going to start out with the Leopards and Lady Leopards.
Soccer teams
both going to state. They played Thursday. Boys beat East M 6-0. The girls beat Hamburg 4-1. And then when you look at the Friday games, those Dardanelle Sand Lizards, they got the Leopards again.
Those darn Dardanelles.
The Sand Lizards.
Yeah.
What kind of name is that?
Yeah.
I mean,
there's no sand here.
Yeah. Well, there may be up there. I don't know. There's no telling what's – those Sand Lizards may be – bionic because they're up there by the nuclear reactor.
They must be
because I mean that I think that the second year in a row they've ended the Leopards.
You know, when you hear people say what's in the water up there, they're serious up there. What's in the water?
That's right. That's right. The nuclear fish glow waste. When you pick them out. Yeah. But you know, it's okay. The girls, an amazing game, lost to CAC. They played over 100 minutes.
Yeah.
Tied up, went to penalty kicks, lost on penalty kicks.
That's such a bummer.
Yeah.
But it had to be great to watch.
Oh, well, it had to be till you lose. You know, I mean, it's just such a hard way to lose.
We talked about this. That's why they did that. Yeah. I don't think it used to be like when they first invented soccer, there was like games that went on for 3 days.
Yeah.
And they were like, we need to figure out how to just put a period at the end of this sentence, you know? Yeah. And that's how you do it now. You just shoot, and it's like if you score, you win.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, don't they let them – I mean,
they let
penalty
them
kicks
go
like
back.
10 people, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so you get 10, we get 10, right. Whoever scores the most.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, that's what I thought.
A lot of pressure on the goalie.
Yeah.
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 Because most of the time they are sitting there. So that it's like if it gets to the end, you know what I mean? I mean it's like, all right, you're up.
You played a whole game and nobody scored, and now you got to keep on doing it.
Yeah.
Pressure's on you.
Yeah.
It's kind of like hockey. They get to sudden, and then nobody scores, and then you got to just do shootouts. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, or else you'll go forever.
Yeah.
If two defensively sound teams, you'll go forever.
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, great game.
Great season.
Yeah, great season.
Girls undefeated completely, right?
Yeah, lost once.
Lost once.
Just there, right there. And then boys, they ended up 18-4. You know, just they had a really, really good season. And so just want to shout them out. I got a few players that I just want to talk about here just for a second.
Sure.
If you'll just give me 1 second, please.
Yeah, I'll give you a second.
Okay.
Yeah. I did check out the broadcasts for the boys and girls games and was pretty at the ends of them, and it was like, no.
Yep.
Yeah.
But looking on the boys' side, just to talk about for just a second, Nathan Martinez, as a freshman, had a really great year scoring. Gustavo Gonzalez and Alex Perez were great defensive players, and A.B. Hernandez had a strong year as goalie. And, you know, they were undefeated in conference play, so I'm going to tell you, when you start out a year, you know, nobody's ever happy to lose out when you get to state. But if you get to that's the semifinals of state.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Yeah.
Or quarterfinals of state,
sure,
where they got beat out. If you get to that, I mean, I think everybody take that at the beginning of the year. Don't you, Tuttle?
I think so.
Yeah. And same way with the girls. They had a great year. You know, they ended up on that shootout. And Ellie Perez, she's just the goal scorer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she is. You hear her name all the time. A lot of different girls did great things, and, they had a lot of 2- and 3-year starters, lost one game. Unfortunately, it came at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So just wanted to mention them all real quickly and just to talk about our Shelter Insurance Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week. We're going to go with the soccer teams.
Nice.
For what they did and how far they made it into state.
Yep.
So both the boys and girls soccer team are going to be our Shelter Insurance Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week.
Awesome. And now I think we have an interview coming up, right, Greg?
We do have an interview with track coach Drew Dykes. He's going to recap the track season for us. So we'll talk to him, and we'll be back. And we're here with the head track coach for the DeQuinn Leopards, Drew Dykes. And Drew, busy guy. You coached all four teams with help, obviously, but you were the head coach for boys, girls, senior and junior high, I believe.
Yes. Yeah. We have... So I do that head senior high, girls and boys, and then the junior high. We do have head coaches, Coach Burgess and Coach Lindley, but I kind of help with that stuff too. So anyway, but yeah, definitely stay busy in the spring. And we also have a seventh grade track team. We do Southwest Arkansas Track League there. So we have lots of meets for sure.
Yeah, it keeps you out of trouble anyway.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So a pretty good track season, or a really good track season for the Leopards and Lady Leopards. Why don't you just touch on some of the highlights for us?
Okay. Yeah. So I tell everybody, all four teams got a plaque this year, which is hard to do. We're the only team in our conference to do that 2 years in a row. So our senior boys got runner up in the conference. They were runner up to Magnolia, who went on to be the second place finisher at state, and they were back-to-back state champions. So, you know, it's a pretty hard conference to win for the boys and the girls. The junior boys finished runner-up also to Magnolia. Magnolia's got a really good track program, so we're always competing with them. And then the senior high and junior high girls finished really good. They both won the conference, and the junior high girls did not win a meet all year long. And we just kept telling them, you know, keep working. And we got to conference, and we were able to put four kids in each event, and we beat Nashville by 5 points. And Nashville had beat us at every meet that year, but we got them when it counted. And then on the senior high girls side, it was a really, really big upset. We went in, we thought we were down about 30 to 40 points going into the meet against Magnolia. And we had a really good meet. They had some stuff go wrong, dropped a baton on a handoff and some different things. And we were able to come out with the conference championship, which was hard to do. They also went on to get runner up at state. So that was all pretty good stuff for us. You want me to go through some kind of few of the individuals kind of highlighted here?
Yeah, that was one of the things I was going to – yeah, I would like for you to do that. And I want to mention real quickly, and you might mention this, the girls came in fifth in state too. So good showing there also.
Yeah, that was big for us. We the boys went up there. We got 14th. Had some unfortunate things happen this year. We lost lost a kid throughout the season to some different issues, and the boys probably would have ended up third or fourth, so that was disappointing. But you know, those things happen, and that's part of it. And but the girls went up there, and we were really excited about finishing fifth. We were 14th last year, and so to jump to fifth was a really big deal, and that's hard to do. You know, I tell the girls, when 40 buses pull up and you can come out with a top five finish, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that is what. Yeah, and you talked about it a minute ago. Just give us a few names of some of the ones that really stood out this year for you in the program.
Yeah, so I'm going to do a few junior high, a few senior high, and some of those carryovers. So Denasia Briggins will be the first one. I got to talk about her. She just a little rundown on what she's done. She has two school records and the 200 and the 300 meter hurdles. I think every meet we went to, she broke the meet record. So she holds almost every meet record in that area. From seventh to ninth grade, she was the high point at the conference meet, and her team won the conference championship. So that's pretty impressive. She's the number four fastest ninth grader in the 300-meter hurdles in the state. And she also moved up to senior high and scored 37.5 points for us at the senior high meet and helped lead us to a conference championship there. And she moved up and scored 10 points at the state meet. She qualified in 5 out of her 6 events.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's pretty pretty impressive on her.
Yeah, very, very impressive performance for a freshman especially.
Yeah, for sure. And then just real quick, Daniel Ortiz, he's an eighth grader. I got to mention him. He broke the school record this year in the mile, which is a huge deal at DeQueen because, I mean, you know our distance is really good. Mm-hmm. But he ran a 4:44, and he has the fourth fastest eighth grade time in Arkansas, and that's 1 through 6A, you know. So
yeah,
that's pretty good. We also had another kid, Eric Hernandez. As a freshman, he also broke the school record, but he doesn't have the school record because Daniel beat him.
yeah.
So he told me, he said, "Coach, I can't believe I broke the school record and got beat by an acre."
Well, they just got a little work to do, right?
Yep, that's right. And then got to mention Cy Collins. He threw the discus 171 feet, and he is the second best freshman in the state. And he was 5 feet away from Kirby Atkins' record. He didn't get the record, but he does have that. So, you know, when you're ranked number two overall in the state, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and Kirby Atkins was no slouch in the discus either. So
yeah, no, that's right. That's a good record.
Yeah,
that's a really good record.
It is something to look for him to work for as he goes to high school, right?
Yeah, for sure. And then on the just real quick, a few more senior high kids. Well, for one, we had 10 boys make all conference, and we had one make all state. And all state is, you know, it's not subjective. I mean, it's you have to get top two in your event, you know, so it's not there's no voting involved.
Yeah.
So it's pretty hard to do. But Kobe Osborne, our 300-meter hurdler, he's going on to run for Rich Mountain. He made all state. He also made the meet of champs. He finished seventh there, and he has the third fastest 300-meter hurdle time we've ever had at DeQueen. And the guy that has the fastest ran at UCA, so
right.
that's a good record. And Ulysses Cotto, the Rotary winner, he was the 4.78 pole vault champion and finished third at state with a vault of 13 feet. He had a really good year and was real proud of him. So that was good. And then on the girls' side, we had 9 all-conference girls. We had 4 all-state girls. That was that 4x18 that won state with Stephanie Valeda, Jaden Valdez, Emma Chambers, and Ellie Perez. So that was a really good team. And one other girl I'd like to mention, Alyssa Neal. She was one of our seniors this year. She was a 4-time all-conference girl in track, 3-time all-state in cross-country. She's been a really good piece for us over the years. She runs the mile, 2 mile, sometimes runs on the 4x8, and so I wanted to make sure she got highlighted too.
Okay, Drew. Well, that's quite a few people. Anything else you want to mention before we let you go?
No, I think that's it. I'm just real proud of the kids. They're fun to work with, you know, and they take pride in kind of keeping the track program going because we've got a strong track history for sure.
Well, and I know you're part of that strong track history, and I know that you really like track and field and you put a lot into it, and we appreciate what you did, and it's really exciting to see what these young kids do, and we'll watch for them in the future. We appreciate you calling in and talking to us for a few minutes, and we'll make sure that we follow these kids as they move forward in their careers.
All right. Thank you all for having me.
I think we take a moment to talk about DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. DeQueen Animal Hospital at 1690 Highway 70 West, right here in DeQueen. Give them a call, 870-642-8387.
Vets,
indeed. That is an amazing place to get all of your veterinary services done. And they cover Southwest Arkansas between DeQueen and Ashdown. Ashdown is located at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown. 870-898-5181. which is nothing. That spells nothing.
It doesn't spell anything. I tried to make it spell something, but I even did it backwards, and it wouldn't spell anything.
I'll tell you what it calls, though. Excellence.
That's right.
Excellence in customer service. Excellence in availability of medication. Excellence in making sure veterinary services, just straight up, you know. And whether it's routine, you're just getting medication, all the way to the most heartbreaking of events with your pets, Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, DeQueen Animal Hospital, going to be a great place for you to get all of your services done. Just look at the Google reviews. 5 stars across the board, both of them. They've got hundreds of reviews. Lots of people on there just talking up Dr. Martin, talking up the staff, the services that were applied, the cost of the medication. I really still don't know how they do that. But, yeah, it's right away. I got to pick up some flea and tick pills for the cats.
Yep.
It's so cheap, and it works so good. It's a great brand. I forget the brand. I think it's Ken. I
can't go with the brands, but I will tell you this. When you talk about Dr. Martin and his staff, they're nobody better. We've all used them. Mm-hmm. We've got personal experience with them, and they are just so great with the animals and also with me.
Yeah.
Which is not easy.
Yeah. They had you up on the table.
I laid down there one time, took a nap, and went out. Okay. Next thing I know, I was Bob Barker got me.
Yeah, Bob Barker got to you.
Y'all know I was about to come with a Bob Barker.
That's right. But you know, spaying, neutering, they do it all.
And the price is right on those services. So they're our oldest sponsor. DeQueen Animal Hospital, Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. We appreciate them so much. Now we have a rock star hanging on the line. Let's get to Jim Cross.
Jim, good to hear from you this week.
Well, it's been a great week, Greg. It's going to UCA Friday at 10 a.m. for the championship game against our old nemesis, the Genoa Dragons. And it really is no surprise in that. As we've kind of talking to some of the other coaches and other guys, us and Genoa have kind of played the best of anybody in the tournament, so it wasn't a surprise that we're going to play each other for the third time.
They should have just let y'all meet in Texarkana to settle this.
Yeah, we could have just ate at Roadhouse and called it good.
Yeah. but you get to go to Conway, though. That's a big deal. I mean, it's a great honor to be in the state finals. Congratulations to the Ashdown Panthers. I know they've been there before. Going to win this one, right?
We got to. Boy, yeah. I tell you, I mean, just since I've been here, we've been 3 times, and we're 0-3, and we're 0-6, I believe, total. We've been to the finals, and we've never won it. So, but I think this team is a little bit different, a lot of good senior leadership. You know, this group, guys, this is amazing. This senior class, this will be their 3rd appearance in the finals, state finals.
That's unbelievable. That's awesome. Yeah. And you're due one, right?
Yeah, we're due one.
Yeah. And I just really quickly, I want to point this out. You know, the Ashdown boys track team won the state class 3A track title also last week or last couple of weeks. So not just baseball players down there. You got some runners too.
Well, and what's interesting about that, fellas, the points leader was Wood Walton, who's our center fielder on the baseball team.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So he's had a pretty good month.
Yeah, we still think he's ours, you know, and y'all stole him.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I shouldn't bring that one up, should I?
Just kidding you. But why don't you just kind of recap the weekend in the state tournament real quick for us?
Okay. Yeah, we played the Pangburn Lions in game number 1, and Kyler Jones came out and pitched 4 innings, and the Cutter Dollarhide closed. With 3 innings, and the pitchers were just fantastic. Struck out, I believe, 11 batters, Pangburn batters combined, threw strikes, heading the count the whole game. And we had a 7-run third inning, and you're thinking, okay, we're going to end this one in 5, but we never could get over that 10 mark, and we end up winning. We scored 6 runs, and we end up winning 7-3, and highlighted by 2 RBI single by Cutter Dollarhide in that inning, and also RBI by Taylor Mitchell, the sophomore. And Taylor ended up having 3 hits out of the 8 hole. The sophomore, he's been in that hole, I guess, about 10 games now, and he's really solidified that spot. And he had a really big tournament. Taylor Mitchell did. Like I said, he had three hits, three RBIs in that game, and we were able to advance the next game against Melbourne, who Melbourne's got a really, really strong club. They were 25-4 coming into the ball game, and they've got a young man going to Arkansas as well, Grant Wren, their designated hitter. But we were able to beat them 4-1, but it was 1-0 going to the seventh, and Walt Jones was pitching. He went six and a third innings, eight strikeouts, only five hits, and didn't give up any runs. And he pitched just fantastic. But we erupted for three runs in the bottom of the sixth to give us a little padding, and highlighted by an RBI single by Tyler Porter, and then Taylor Mitchell again with a two RBI single, and then Gunnar Altenbaumer closed the game, and we were able to win 4-1. But there was a defensive play that I think changed the whole momentum of the game. We're up 1-0, and it's in the third inning, and they've got a runner on first and second, and they're three hole hitters up who doubled the previous at bat, and he hit a line drive bullet up the middle and cut a dollar high, dove in the air and caught it, rolled to second base and got a double play and ended the inning. And you know, if that ball gets through, that might score two runs, and you never know what that would have done momentum wise. So that kind of took the air out of their balloon, the play that Cutter made.
That was a great play.
Oh yeah, it was something.
And did you hear Jim squeal when that play?
Yes, yeah, Jim went crazy on that one. Everybody did.
I did.
Quick play. I got some questions about that game, Jim. Yeah. But I know you weren't finished. If you had anything else on it.
Yeah, I'm finished about that game. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, Walt Jones went through a lot of pitches in that game. A lot of foul balls. They were really aggressive batting, huh?
Yeah, it was interesting. You're right, Tyler. They fouled off as many good pitches as I've seen all year, and they just battled, and I think their game plan was to get Walt out of the game.
Yeah.
And they accomplished that. Like I say, he threw 110 pitches in 6 1/3, but he had 45 pitches after three innings. And so, yeah. and we just couldn't get any real quick innings. And I exaggerated on the radio. I know y'all never do that, but you know, like I said one time, I said, I think they fouled off 40 pitches.
Yeah.
I mean,
it might have been that. Like, it was so many, and then, but they, I guess they never heard of Gunnar Altenbaumer either, because he came up for the last inning and yes. threw, you know, some great strikeouts there.
Yeah, he sure did. He closed it out with a strikeout, and Gunnar played fantastic. But yeah, they were as fundamentally sound as a team I'd seen all year, and they made three or four plays in the field that were just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Walt Jones hit a ball to the fence, literally to the center field fence, and I'm already announcing, we had a man on second, third, I'm already announcing one run scored, two runs scored, and the kid does an over-the-shoulder catch banging up against the fence, hit 410 feet away from my home plate. Oh, and he has back towards home plate.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just some really good baseball to watch this weekend.
As a Panther fan, it was a great game. It was like a frustrating game to listen to because they just wouldn't let up. They just did not go down.
Yeah. Yeah. You kept thinking, okay, we're going to get a run or two here and kind of put this thing away. And they made, I mean, there were a couple plays they made with runners in scoring position that, like, oh, my.
Yeah.
And then we go to play Perryville. And to be honest, Perryville ran out of pitching, and that's where we got so much pitching depth. We were able to save Kyler and pitch him under 60 pitches on Thursday so he could come back on Saturday and pitch. So he came out and threw the ball really well, and we got him out after five innings. And then Jared Baker, who hadn't pitched at all, who's one of our four or five good pitchers, and he came in and pitched well. And so, you know, we're pitching guys that I would think could pitch for anybody in the state. And then the third game, and nothing against Perryville, but they were pitching guys that you could see that didn't have a lot of experience. They had to pitch all their guys to get to that point. And so we won 9-0. And it was really, you know, it was really never in doubt. And we came out and scored eight runs in the first three innings over seven hits, highlighted by Mason Washington. Mason Washington had three hits in the game, three RBIs. And he played really well. But then Gunnar Altenbaumer made the ultimate Brooks Robinson play in the in the sixth inning where they had a chance to score and at least put a little pressure on us. And it hit one down the third base line with a runner on first and second and one out. And he dives across the third base bag. He catches it in one hop. He touches the bag, gets up and throws a dart across the first base for a double play. And you could almost see Perryville throw up the white flag after that.
That sounds amazing. One thing, Jim, you're going to have to update some of your commentary there because only you and I know who Brooks Robinson are.
I've heard of him.
He's a good country musician, right?
No.
Arkansan.
He was an Arkansan, and he's actually a great third baseman for the Orioles for years.
Well, I got to ask about the Panthers then, because again, I've listened to a lot of baseball this season. I haven't heard of a team that has more pitching depth. Like you have four or five really good pitchers on a team, that changes everything.
It certainly does. And at the 3A level, that's typically not the case. Like I say on the radio, everybody has a dude, but we've got like three dudes and then three guys that could probably be a number two pitcher on most teams that we play. Mm-hmm. Like Cutter Dollarhide, he came in game number one. Cutter's probably thrown 12, 15 innings all year, and he came in against Pangburn, fellas, and he walked the first two, but then after that, he struck out the side in the seventh inning, and he's arguably our fifth best pitcher.
Wow.
So the pitching depth is just, in all the years I've done this, I don't think I've ever seen this have that much depth to you could roll five or six guys out there and feel comfortable.
And that's what it is with baseball, the way they play these tournaments and the pitch counts and all that. There's two factors to it. One, you got to have enough pitching, but secondly, mm-hmm. you've also got to figure out how you're going to use that pitching and do it in such a way where you don't lose a game, but you save your pitchers as long as you can mm-hmm. save them. And that's exactly what happened with Kyler Jones there in the first game. And Cutter came in, finished it off, and then he was still available to pitch on Saturday, which helped out quite a bit.
Yeah, and how many guys have that kind of depth to feel comfortable? I mean, here you are in game number one in the state tournament, and Kyler's mm-hmm. mowing them down, and you have the confidence to take him out. And then bring in a guy that's, like I say, probably thrown 12 innings all year long. Yeah. And, Cutter just blew him away. Yeah.
Friday game, Walt, throwing amazing, and then their strategy to try and get him over his pitch count, which might have worked. And they're like, hey, let's get him over his pitch count. Maybe in the last inning we have a chance. And then Gunner comes out and he's just throwing lasers too. Like it's there's no winning.
Yeah. That's where we would like to play like Texas does. And play Genoa the best two out of three for the championship.
Yeah.
Because that would be our advantage. Now, at the same time, you feel comfortable pitching Kyler and Walt anyway, but in a one game series, but our pitching depth really separates us from everybody else.
Mm. Yeah. Well, and so all that being said, you're now in the state finals, 10 a.m. Friday, the 23rd, in Conway. Against Genoa Central, the Dragons. You played them, what?
Three times?
Twice. Okay. Yeah, we were supposed to play them in the regional tournament, but they got upset by Bismarck, so we didn't see them in the in the finals, which is kind of interesting. But, really, I was talking to Coach O'Manion about this. In some ways, I think it's good they beat us the one game because, if we'd have beat them twice or even three times and then try to beat them three or four times in the season, fellas, that's hard to do.
It is.
Yeah.
And so in the game we lost to them, we were ahead 3-1 in the seventh inning. And so we feel like that, that's another game that Walt had to come out. And so now we're going to start Kyler as of now and hopefully get 3 to 4 innings out of him. And then you throw Walt in there, and then Walt can throw 70 pitches instead of 110. And you feel very comfortable throwing those two guys out there.
And when we get to Friday, all pitch counts are back to nothing, right? They're all reset.
Yeah, you reset. Yeah. Every week resets.
Gotcha.
Yeah, as far as the week goes. And so, Jim, can't wait for that. Just so excited for the Ashdown Panthers. Need another state championship in Southwest Arkansas.
Yes.
Got a couple so far, but we'll take a couple more.
Mm-hmm. We will.
Yeah, and before we move on to the players of the week, anything else you got?
I can't think of anything else. I think I've covered all the baseball stuff, and we're just really excited. And I was really pleased with all the people that came to the game. We had a big crowd, and you know, Greenland's 4 hours away,
right?
And there were a lot of Ashdown people there, and a lot of people that even didn't have kids on the team that were there, which I was very impressed to support their
that's
team.
Great. That's true. Because when I was listening, you know, I'd hear the roars, and I'd be like, "Oh, is some? That's the other team." You know, I couldn't even hear the like any other team fans. Like it was Ashdown fans who came out.
Yeah, that's
they did.
That's great. Well, one thing before we mention the Dom Tar Panther Player of the Week, I want to mention that this is going to be the DeQueen Motorsports Game of the Week.
Surprise!
Yeah, the Ashdown Panthers playing the Genoa Central.
Just by a nose.
And but Jim, who you got for the Dom Tar Panther Player of the Week?
Well, there's a lot of guys we could have chosen, but I'm going to go with Kyler Jones. Kyler pitched Thursday and Saturday, and between both of those games, fellas, he gave up one run in basically 10 innings of pitching in the state tournament, and I really admired what he did. You know, me being a pitcher's dad, I understand how hard it is to pitch on Thursday and then on Saturday, because on Saturday, fellas, he didn't have his best stuff, and he'll tell you that, but he still competed, stayed ahead in the count, and was able to pitch 5 shutout innings after throwing 5 innings 2 days before. I mean, so that's fellas, that is hard to do. And but Kyler, he was cool as a cucumber. And what I like about Kyler is he's always going to throw strikes, and I say this on the radio all the time, he don't mind coming inside. And he has the confidence to come inside and get those guys off the plate. And then that curveball low and away is tough after you've had a fastball in your hands. And Kyler, his control is fantastic. And that's why he's going to National Park to continue his college career.
Yeah, well, congratulations to him, Dom Tar Panther Player of the Week, Kyler Jones, the pitcher, and good luck to him and the rest of the Panthers as they travel to Conway to face the Genoa Central Dragons in the state championship game for 3A baseball. Looking forward to hearing your call Friday morning, Jim.
All right, me too. I'm excited. I'm ready to go.
Well, yeah, we appreciate you calling in as we do always, and we'll be talking to you about a state championship next week.
Hey, let's do it. Hey, appreciate your support, guys. Have a good week.
You too.
Take care. Bye. Big thanks to Jim Cross for calling into the show every single week. And now we have an interview that he lined out and recorded with Coach Jordan O'Bannon. Here it is.
This is Jim Cross here with Ashdown Panther head coach Jordan O'Bannon. Hey, Coach, was there a time this season that you thought, man, we got a chance to do something special?
Yes, sir. I'd say the LE game. You know, I set up a schedule. It was this year where we were going to play some top-notch teams. Mm-hmm. And then rolling into that game, that was the game on the schedule where I wanted to see where we were.
Okay.
And once I seen, because we had a few kids out, you know, starters, Wood was one of them, and we gave them all they wanted, you know, and we ended up going and losing that game. It was 3-0. But we had some errors in the field, and you know, if we didn't make those errors and if we would have got the timely hits, then it's a different game. So I knew then that with them being as good as they are, that man, I think we got a real shot if we just fix a few things and get to rolling.
That's kind of the advantage of playing a good non-conference schedule, to measure yourself against really good teams.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Coach, you've got a lot of seniors that have been through the battles, that have, you know, this is nothing new to them. Hey, talk about your senior leadership and maybe a couple of specific guys that have really stood out as leaders on this team.
Yes, sir. No, yeah, we have a bunch of seniors. And man, that's the deal, is they've been through it all. Mm-hmm. So they know not to get frustrated and let stuff go and beat us, because they've gone and done it all and know and have been there. Some of them, Walt Jones, you know, he plays very well at shortstop. He's been a dude on the mound. He swings the bat well. Gunner plays third. And you want to talk about clutch. He is Mr. Yeah. Clutch.
He is.
Whenever we need something, he comes through. Braden Walton, you know, he hadn't played in a couple of years, I don't think, and then he comes back as this year. He's been a dude in the outfield, and he swings the bat well.
He does. You know?
And I think he does a great job of covering up some hitters in the lineup. You know, we stick him in the three hole. He helps, you know, he covers up Walt, and then behind him is Gunner, and then behind him is Mason.
Yeah.
And going off him, Mason Washington, you know, last year he hurt his knee. Uh-huh. So this year he's come back. He swung the bat well. He's been a guy in the outfield. You know, he's done a great job. Mm-hmm. Great job. Another senior, one of many, Tyler Porter. Mm-hmm. You know, he in the past he's been a guy, you know, from what I've heard is they kind of stuck him all over the place. Mm-hmm. Well, this year, you know, I stuck him at first base. It's kind of where I thought we needed him most. And man, he's done well over there.
Mm-hmm.
He's done well. He swung the bat well, and he's come through in a lot of games. And then Kyler Jones.
Yeah.
Kyler Jones has been the man on the mound. Uh-huh. You know, he's done well. I can't think of a game where he hasn't done well. Uh-huh. You know, he gives us a chance to win every time he's there, and his mindset is he's going to go in there and do it. So, you know, and I think he's done a fine job. And then Cutter Dollarhide. You know, he's the leadoff man. Mm-hmm. He's the one where I think he gives a good chance to get it started and get on base.
Mm-hmm.
And at second base, dude's a vacuum. I can always count on him. You know, I feel comfortable if the ball is hit over there that he's going to get the job done. And he does a great job of being a leader and mellowed out and keeps everything steady and mm-hmm. going.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he does a great job for us.
Yes. Coach's fans, we all love the hits. We like to have the 12, 15 hit ball games, and those are great. But sometimes, like in the Melbourne game, you hit it right to them and they make some good plays. But talk about defensively. Well, the team has played A+ the games I've broadcasted. And like the other day, they made some plays. You're like, wow. And that's the winning formula. So talk about your defense, Coach.
Well, defense wins championships.
Sure, you know? Yeah.
And that goes from the dude on the mound and the eight guys behind him.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, no, our defense has been great. You know, I think our outfield is top-notch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ball is hit in the air. I think we got a chance.
Yeah, I do too.
and our guys in the infield, I mean, they're locked down. One – I mean, we've gone and worked on it all year long that we know it didn't matter what where the runners are or what, that we know where we're going to go with the baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we work hard all year long, and I got some great gloves and great kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, speaking on that game, I know we had two very big plays when Gunner got the backhand at third base,
mm-hmm.
and they made a mistake on the base pass, and we got that lead run.
Yeah,
that would have got a would have made the game tied. And mm-hmm. then another one was there was runners at first and second with one out, and Cutter makes a diving catch up the middle, and double a guy off. I mean, though, but that stuff that has happened all year long,
mm-hmm.
you know, and. And that's one thing that we got going is the defense.
And those are momentum killers to the other team. You could just see the balloon come out of the air from Melbourne because they thought, okay, here we go. And it didn't happen. And I think that changed not only the game in that inning, but I think it changed the rest of the game, their whole mindset.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
Coach, we're playing Genoa. We're going to drive all the way to Conway to play Genoa for the third time. And, you know, they're well coached. And we've had some great matches with them over the years. And we've known those kids since – you know, T-ball days. Hey, talk about Genoa and some of their strengths.
Man, they play the game well. Mm-hmm. They aren't going to get flustered and screw up. You know, they got some good kids, and we know what we're going to see out of them. You know, mm-hmm. we're going to see a dude on the mound that gives them a chance to win, and their 1 through 9 are hard to go and strike out. You know, mm-hmm. they're going to battle and put the ball in play, and they don't make mistakes in the field. But that's the thing, is we know them and they know us, and mm-hmm. we beat them, and they've gone and beat us.
Yeah.
But I think our boys are up, mm-hmm. you know, and I wouldn't want it another way, and I think that they wouldn't want it another way either. Mm-hmm. You know, let's go play them, let's get it done and win. But you know, I think they're well coached.
Yeah, yeah.
And great kids.
Uh-huh.
You know, but there's one thing, is our kids are ready to play.
So. Yeah, yeah, I sense that. And Coach, I think, just in talking to the fans all around, nobody's surprised about this. I think going into it, I think I felt that way. I think you probably did too, that I was not surprised to see us and Genoa in the finals. I thought Genoa was a team that they could get to the finals.
Oh yeah, no, there was. I had had quite a few folks come up and say that, mm-hmm. and then I actually thought we were going to see them a fourth time and see them in the regional. Now, whenever I seen that we were going and split up, I just knew, like, well, that's who we're going to see in the championship.
Yeah.
But you know, just like I said, I wouldn't want it another way.
No. Yeah. That's where I see it. Coach O'Bannon, as a coach, I would just think that this may be one of your biggest jobs, not so much strategy-wise, because everybody knows what to do at this point. You've coached them up. They know what to do. But trying to keep them level, not to be too high and too low, because this is the biggest game of their life.
Yes, sir.
And so you don't want to lose the intensity, but at the same time, you don't want them to be nervous and overwhelmed. So as a coach, what are some things that you do to try to keep it all level?
Well, just like I preached to them, you know, in some of the big games, you know, that we've played, and like, guys, it's just a game.
Yeah.
And it's a baseball game. I said, go out there and have fun. This is a game that you've played your whole life. It hadn't changed.
Mm-hmm.
I said, have fun. I mean, if we're nervous, you know, then that's ourselves mm-hmm. that's making this, you know, it's nervous. I said, just turn the voices off. Let's go out there and have fun. I mean, just play.
Yeah.
But another thing, you know, is the routine, mm-hmm. you know, is all we're going to do is show up and practice just like we do, you know,
sure.
and do our stuff. You know, and on my part, not to add any pressure on them, you know, not to add the pressure to them, and mm-hmm. And just show up, just coach how I've done all year long, mm-hmm. and I think the boys will be, you know, relaxed and ready to roll.
Yeah, and that's once again where that senior leadership is going to help, and you know, those guys can help you as well to keep everything level. Coach, the last question, and this is kind of a tear-jerking question that you brought up to me a couple of days ago. Talk about the significance of win number 24. If we win the game Friday, that'll be 24 victories for this season. What does that number 24 mean to you and to the Ashdown Panther faithful?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, like I told you the day, you know, I'm laying in bed just kind of thinking about the season, and I realized at that moment that we were on win 22.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we were to win on a Saturday, that put us at 23. And then there was one more game left, and we would end with 24.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we wear 24 on the side of our hats. And you know, the kid that passed away, C.J. Harris, you mm-hmm. know, he would have been a senior.
Mm-hmm.
And this senior class, you know, has carried us, and he would be a part of this. And I know that them boys wish he was here, and he plays a big part in everything that we do, you know. Mm-hmm. And we retired his number. It's this year, and you know, baseball is a funny game, and And I don't know if it's in God's plan, but if it is in God's plan, man, he's got something amazing ahead mm-hmm. of us. You know, I mean, that would just be a perfect deal that, you know, the first championship ever would be it's this year with that senior class and end with the 2-4.
2-4, yeah. Can't think of a better ending, Coach.
No, sir.
Well, Coach, we appreciate your time. Congratulations on going to the championship game and having a great season. And we'll see you Friday morning at 10 a.m. against those Genoa Dragons.
Yes, sir.
Another big thanks to Jim Cross for sending that interview in. Excellent stuff. But we move on. We got some other teams to talk about, Greg.
Yeah, and before we move on to some other teams that are doing some, I just want to mention a couple of teams that have finished their seasons. That would be the Horatio Lions and the Foreman Gators. Both have finished all their spring sports, but we want to mention their sponsor. Or mm-hmm. Horatio State Bank and all the things they've done for us all year long. Thank you, Horatio State Bank. Now we'll move on to the Dirks Outlaws, and we got King Tut right here on the mic.
Co-host yeah. Mike. How's it feel?
Welcome, guys.
Welcome.
I didn't think he was going to say anything.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for having me once again.
But what do we got? Outlaw line,
track.
Man.
It's all track and field this week, and I'm no Drew Dykes, but I'm going to give you some track information.
You know what? I can see that.
That yeah. I'm no Drew Dykes.
Yeah, yeah.
Drew Dykes. I do know Drew Dykes, yeah. but I am no. Forget it.
Yeah.
Let's get into this. Outlaws participated in the state track meet 2 weeks ago at Gurdon, continued last week at Quitman, so for the last 2 weeks. So it was hard to get all of these results, and I hope I don't miss anybody when I run this down, but I think I've got everything. And if you want to, you think you could read my mess I've got written down here, Tyler?
Got that.
We're going to start Addison Hill at the state track meet. She finished second in the 100 meters, fifth in the high jump. Miley Harrison, fifth in the 100 meters, 16th in the long jump, first in the 300 meter hurdle. She's a state champion.
Nice.
She won that by 4 seconds. I looked, interesting fact, I looked on the deal, and she would have finished sixth, I believe, in the boys' race.
Oh, wow.
At the 2A state meet.
Sweet.
4x100 girls relay, Rayleigh Walston, Miley Harrison, Lily Hogg, Hannah Kirby. Not sure what place they got. See, I've already failed.
Yeah.
Carly Mounts finished seventh in the 3,200 meters. Dylan Moore, 9th, 3,200 meter boys. 4x400 girls relay finished 8th. Aspen Pugh, Lily Hall, Gracie Thigpen, Hannah Kirby. 4x400 boys finished 5th. Ben Ernest, McLean Smith, Javion Chapman, and Justin Humphreys. Turn the page.
All right. Bob Great. Seger.
Hey, I like the Metallica version.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Alice Roberts finished 13th in the 400 meters. The boys 4x100 finished 4th, and that consisted of R.J. Morrison, Jaden Chapman, Ben Ernest, Alice Roberts. Girls 4x800, 4th, Carly Mounts, Kaylee Mounts, Aspen Pugh, Gracie Thigpen. Boys 4x200. Finished 6th, Alex Roberts, Drake Thatcher, Javion Chapman, and Jaden Chapman. Jancy Gladwell, 14th in the shot put. Brayson Talley, 12th in the shot put for the boys. And I think I got everybody. If I didn't, send all emails to
Tyler.
Tyler. Yeah. I was going to say Tony since he's not
yeah,
here.
Yeah, Tony since he's not here.
That's okay.
But
tstowers8@gmail.com.
Dirks, huh?
Miley Harrison, by virtue of being the state champion in the 300 meter hurdles on Monday, got to participate in the meet of champs on Wednesday. You know, that's all classifications. She's a 9th grader, and she finished 10th in that. But I mean,
that's
only
amazing.
Only one person from each classification's going. So
yeah,
that's.
I guess two. They take two.
Apparently they do because there's not team classification. So,
yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, that's pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah, that's amazing stuff, especially for a sophomore.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a sophomore. She almost is a sophomore. She's a freshman.
She's probably already got her sophomore classes lined up.
Yeah, probably.
Miley Harrison.
Yeah, great job for her. So, who are you going with for the Todd Moore Shelter Insurance Outlaw Player of the Week this week?
Well, since we have more awards to give away a little later, we're going to start things off with Addison Hill as the Todd Moore Outlaw Player of the Week. Finished second in the 100 meters and fifth in the high jump at the state meet. Congratulations to her.
Congratulations to Addison Hill on winning the Todd Moore Shelter Insurance Outlaw Player of the Week.
You are no Drew Dykes, but with any luck, you'll be living in a van down by the dike soon enough.
And now we move on to the Costot River Eagles. And guess what? An amazing feat here.
Yeah?
The Costot River Eagles are going to go for their first state championship.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's going to be in boys soccer. They're going to play Episcopal Saturday the 24th at 10 a.m. I want to talk about a couple of different guys for them. Edwin Trinidad has been leading the charge for the Eagles offensively, and Ishmael Medina plays goalie and has had an outstanding year also.
Nice.
Looking forward to listening to their championship game and talking about it next week as they win this first state championship with the Costot River Eagles.
Now, in anything, and right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, what we have to mention here is that, you know, Costot River is a combined school between Wicks and Cove, and those schools have both won state championships, but as a combined school, they have not won anything. And that's why we're saying what we're saying. So just congratulations to the boys soccer team. Looking forward to hearing about their victory next week.
Nice.
Yeah. So also want to mention Gwen Bradshaw. She is the state champion in the shot put in Class 3A and was third in the discus also. And
the discus.
Yeah.
Is that one?
Well, you don't throw it like that. But
how do you throw it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like a kind of a circular thing. We'll get Drew Dykes to show you.
All right, there you go.
Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Drew Dykes could throw a discus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, moving on, we're going to go with our Union Bank of Mena Eagle Player of the Week. That's going to be the Eagles boys soccer team going for Costotot River's first ever state championship.
Nice.
Yeah, congratulations to them, and thank you to Union Bank of Mena for sponsoring the Eagle Player of the Week.
Good luck,
boys.
Each
and every week.
Yeah. Good luck.
Good luck. So I think we're pretty much done with everything. We got a few awards to give out. We got the Toad Lumper.
Leave that in there. Toad Lumper.
Toad Lumper. Lumping them in with all
the Toad Lumper Thurs.
Sorry, Cody.
There goes the last time we get a check from him.
That's right.
All right, here we go. We got a few awards to give out. First, we're going to go with the Toad Thumper Lures Girls Player of the Year, and that's going to be Gwen Bradshaw. Congratulations to Gwen, state champion in track in the shot put in 3A. The Horatio State Bank Boys Player of the Year. I screwed that up.
No, that's all right. You keep going.
Horatio State Bank Boys Player of the Year is going to be Mason Washington from Ashdown.
Yeah.
Had a great weekend in the state tournament. Look forward to hearing about them as they go to the state finals against the Dragons.
Nice.
I like the Dragons. I like to the put Panthers. The fire out on the Dragons.
I'd like to slay them.
Dragon Slayer.
Yeah, that's right.
But then you got the Atta Rose Designs Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air Player of the Area of this week, Miley Harrison.
Nice.
Hurdle Slayer.
Hurdle Slayer, yeah. State champion by 4 seconds.
I don't think I could do one hurdle.
Yeah, me either.
So she's first in state on that? It's amazing.
And that's running around almost all the way around the track.
Yeah.
Yeah, 300. That's a lot.
10 hurdles, is that what it
I mean? Think it is 10. I don't know. I can't count that.
She won by 4 seconds, which 4 seconds in track is like a lifetime, right?
I mean, that's probably, they were still jumping the eighth hurdle when she finished.
You're way ahead.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's awesome.
That's a long ways, but congratulations to her for being the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the air at a Rose Designs Player of the Area. And if you don't get a T-shirt quickly, that's Jeff Tuttle's fault.
Yep.
So
McLean Smith still waiting on his from a month ago.
I gave it to him.
No, I hadn't given it to him, though.
I know. Okay. All right. Well, come on.
I've been wearing it around.
Yeah, you're not wearing it.
It's a smedium.
I'm the player of the area.
Yeah. Well, you know, he actually has a shirt I bought for him.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just
shirt.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and you have one.
I do.
You know, the thing about it is I have purchased Tyler two or three shirts. The only shirts he wears are some that he stole from me.
Yeah.
That were meant for me, and he took them.
Yeah.
He won't wear the ones I give him and that I buy him and give to him.
Right.
You know, I've never seen him wear this shirt. Never.
I wear it at home.
around doing yard work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Painting and.
Well, we're not going to let him steal Miley's shirt.
No. We'll get her shirt to her. We're just kidding.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're a little bit slow, but realize.
Oh, we're a lot slow.
Well, that's true. We're a lot slow, but sometimes we're slow in getting those to you. But we do have other jobs.
Well,
some of us.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, some
Once
of us.
Once this
have
takes
other
off,
jobs.
Though?
Yeah, that's what we're waiting on. We're just waiting on it to go national, syndicated, and everything else.
Waiting on the right people to hear our humor.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
why when I was a kid, I used to think I could just walk around, like if I should just move to L.A. and I'll just walk around the streets and somebody's going to just stop and be like, you, I need you in my movie, you know? And I thought that
you've been
be,
watching Kramer.
Yeah. That's just like, that's like an episode of Seinfeld.
Yeah, it is.
It's close.
That is an episode. Yeah, you remember what happened to him, right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. But anyway, that's pretty much it for high school sports, unless you got something else, guys. Yeah, uh-huh. You want to move on to a couple of different things, just talk about real quickly for national things. But before we do that, we need to talk about
UA Cossatot.
Let's do it.
www.cccua.edu. If you want to support the Cossatot Colts, UA Cossatot Colts. It's not just basketball, it's soccer too, which we have something to look forward to, and shooting sports, which is going around. Shooting program builds on foundations started by high school and junior high school students of the AYSSP program from the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission. So they're looking forward to build on these skills as the student athletes grow as citizens and competitors at the collegiate level. Go Colts. You can also go to www.cccua.edu to check out their programs of study that they have on offer, all the employer resources that you need, all information on state scholarships and grants, and even get some info on facility rentals. Mm-hmm. So plenty of stuff going on at CCCUA, so definitely check them out. If you're in high school listening, you can graduate high school, as many others have, with 2 years of college-level courses under your belt. Graduate high school with an associate's degree. Unbelievable. We know some that have done it. A couple are doing it this year. So don't wait any further. Go to www.cccua.edu today.
And we appreciate them so much.
Oh, man. Amazing. Great sponsor. Super proud to have them. All right. Now let's talk about some more national stuff.
All right. The first thing I want to talk about, and I don't know if you want to talk about it, I was very interested to see that the baseball commissioner reinstated Shoeless Joe Jackson and Pete Rose. And are those the only two that are out, that have been out forever?
I think so. And I was just going to say it's about time. Yeah. But, you know, I'm a Cincinnati Reds guy.
Yeah.
Did you see the Barry Bonds interview?
No.
He is not happy about it.
Yeah. Because he's not getting in.
Because none of those steroid-era players are eligible.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think one of the things about it is you know, you can be I think if you once that's determined and it's been this long and there's no disputing what happened, why would you change it?
Yeah.
And I know you're a Reds fan, and Pete Rose was a great baseball player, but He didn't do what he was supposed to do, just like Shoeless Joe Jackson did.
And I think one of the only reasons they changed it is the fact that neither one of them are alive. It's not like it's something that's going to honor them while they're living. You know, they punished him while he was alive. I mean, that's just kind of how I feel about that.
Why not, instead of reinstating them, just adding a new category?
Cheaters.
Like best roided, like, you know, this is the roided Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And Barry Bonds can go in that.
Well, you know, that's the thing about the Barry Bonds argument. I kind of agree with part of what he says. Now, he was not very classy the way he went about his interview.
Yeah.
Lots of cursing and bashing everybody. But, you know, he's,
Roid rage. Yeah,
really. I mean, he pretty much admitted to what he'd done, but he said the same thing I've said when the argument comes up. Everybody else was doing it too.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to leave like a whole decade of players out of the Hall of Fame over that.
Same thing I say.
But how are you going to pick and choose? How are you going to pick and choose who done it? I mean, because they're not everybody was proven guilty, and you know they were probably all doing it. So,
well, but he was the only one. He left one season looking like a string bean and came back the next season.
Well, I mean, him, McGuire, Sosa, they were the obvious. I mean, because they're
Roger Clemens.
Clemens.
Yeah.
Schilling in on all of it, too.
Yeah.
But I don't know that he ever got nailed, did he?
I don't think.
Yeah.
Rafael Palmeiro, you know, he testified.
Yeah.
As to who was doing it. So he's probably. Banned anyway. I mean, they probably won't ever let the rad in.
Yeah. No. But, like, when the day happens that Barry Bonds, like, he was awesome to watch, right? I mean, like, you enjoyed him, unless he was beating your team. But, like, if you were a Giants fan, right, you were a huge Barry Bonds
fan. At that time, if you're just a fan of baseball, you would watch a game just to watch Barry Bonds.
Just to watch him. So, like, on the day that he unfortunately passes away, and then sometime after that, you know, he's got to get recognized for something,
well,
you know?
Yeah, and you know, and I think one of the things that's overlooked in this is, while you still got the, you know, all those home runs he hit, you don't hit those just because you're on steroids. I could be on steroids for 20,000 years, and I still couldn't do it.
Right.
You still got to have the hand-eye coordination and be able to do that stuff. And there are, you know, and it's just like, you know, I think that it's a, you know, Maybe there was 10% of those home runs he muscled over because he got that extra muscle from testosterone. But you still got to be able to hit them.
Yeah.
Right?
He's muscling them over into the cove. It's not like they were barely clearing the fence.
That's There were people out in kayaks waiting in the ocean to get those balls.
Yeah.
In San Francisco. And you know how heavy the air is in San Francisco?
Oh, yeah.
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 I mean, it's crazy.
I personally don't care.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I baseball would be a little bit more enjoyable to me if everybody
I'd like
just
to hear Hank Aaron's opinion on it, and I don't know that he's ever really came out and said much about it.
Too much of a gentleman.
It was his record that he broke, and I mean, I don't know.
Yep.
Not where we started, though. We started with Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe, and we'll see now if they get voted in. Just because they're eligible don't mean they'll. The voters will vote.
Well,
and
they're not even going to get voted into the regular part of it anyway. It's a different vote, something about historical or something. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but
which I don't know much about Joe Jackson, but Pete Rose, I mean, he's a legend, right?
So. Yeah. Well, Shoeless Joe Jackson was probably part of the team, the White Sox. They were renamed the Black Sox. That's how dirty they were.
Ah,
yeah.
So nice.
Probably the most famous cheating scandal.
That's right.
In baseball until the Astros started beating on trash cans a few years ago.
What did they do?
They were throwing games, weren't they? Yeah. I mean, like losing on purpose and
Whoa.
There's some movies
for money.
Okay,
yeah. for money.
I mean, there was like
betting on.
Yeah.
There was like state senators and everything involved in it.
Oh wow!
Yeah. I mean, it was a huge deal.
And that was a long time ago.
Right.
I won't say 1912, but I might be wrong.
I thought it was 18, but it is still in the teens there somewhere. Mm. But anyway, big deal. Anything else about that, you guys? Moving on, I just wanted to mention this. We talk about NIL all the time and how crazy it is. I'm not, you know, I brought this up just because he was played for the Razorbacks. Boogie Fland pulled himself out of the NBA draft and now is, I believe, committed to Florida because he's going to make more money under NIL playing at Florida than he could have made playing in the NBA.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. Now, you don't make much when you're first into the draft, right?
Like, well, it just depends on where you go.
Right.
You know?
Okay,
But, you know, so, but, I mean, how can some college pay somebody and their boosters.
Yeah.
And their boosters is the main part of it. Pay somebody more than what they would be making on the NBA
team. And the rumor, I mean, the word floating around is $20 million.
Yeah.
I mean, but, like, how do you justify that? Is Boogie like, no, I need more education? You know what I mean? Like, that's what this is all about.
Well, it's he should take all finance classes. Is yeah. what he should do.
He doesn't need a finance class. He's hired a finance guy.
Yeah,
already.
So was he out of college?
No,
no.
Well, he was still right. I mean, he was in college and university till this right. semester.
Then he gets into the draft, the yeah. NBA draft, pulls himself out, and continues his education in Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
His $20 million education.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right.
And so I didn't want to talk a lot about it, but one other thing I'll bring up is, there was a quarterback in Detroit that was committed to LSU that decommitted and went with Michigan, and he's getting paid $12.5 million a year.
Mm.
And that's out of high school. That's out of high school.
That's crazy.
Now, one of the things that I'm going to throw this out, and we can talk about it if you want to. There was a legislator in the state of Arkansas that wanted to propose a bill to pay high school athletes NIL money.
Oh, wow.
didn't go anywhere yet, but it's coming, guys. It's
I think
coming.
They do it in Texas. I think there's some kids in Texas that, live.
Yeah.
They sweeten the pot, right? Is it like cash?
But legally.
Or like, we'll set you up with all this stuff. Like,
me and a friend of mine were talking about this here a while back. I can remember going and watching a buddy of ours play college football. And, afterwards, everybody would hang out. And we'll take you out to dinner. And it's kind of like, you can't actually buy me anything.
Uh-huh.
Now you can give him $1 million if you want to.
Yeah.
Speaking of high school stuff, changing the subject real quick, but the Razorback basketball did get a big commit.
They did.
J.J. Andrews.
Yep.
I'm not even sure where he goes to school in Little Rock. He's in Little Rock.
North Little Rock, I believe.
North Little Rock. His dad was a football
Sean
player.
Sean Andrews, yeah.
And played in the NFL. Mm. And he committed for basketball for the Razorbacks. That was a good get.
How do you feel about the NBA finals, conference finals?
I think that... Here's what I'm going to tell you. When I put that down on here, my first thought about those conference finals was all the media is hoping the Knicks win.
Mm.
Because if the Pacers, Oklahoma City, that Oklahoma City Timberwolves game, that'll be the best series, mm-hmm. I think. But there's not enough TVs watching.
I was going to say, in the eyes of all of those, they're all small market teams except
that's right.
for the Knicks.
When's the last time the Knicks did something? Like I listen to a lot of like New York radio. I hear people talking like, it's such a basketball town. Such
I would
a
say
New
Patrick
York,
Ewing, but I'm sure they've done something since then. Carmelo Anthony bunch, did they do anything?
Not really.
Underachieved?
Yeah, I don't think they've ever like been in the finals or anything. Last time I remember in the finals, they got beat by Houston. And that was like in 85, I think.
So it would have been around a Patrick Ewing.
Yeah,
it
was Patrick Ewing time. Yeah. So
New York fans going probably pretty crazy right now. Yeah.
And I could be wrong. Yeah. I mean, they
Spike
could.
Lee.
Yeah, I'm not a Knicks fan, never have been. I don't like. I didn't like Patrick Ewing when he played for Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
Is
that JR's brother?
Yeah.
Nephew.
Yeah. Nephew. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I would be pulling for the Thunder and the Knicks.
Yeah.
I bet Toad Thumper Lures is probably pulling for the Pacers. Larry Bird's the GM or something there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure he is.
Just the general manager. He serves hot dogs to the players and he's like, I want that. That team. He's going to lace up his pair of Birds.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, he doesn't have any. Oh, that's right. Bird doesn't have any shoes still.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
All right, lace up his pair of Bird shorts. Yeah. He was known for those.
Yeah.
All
those
right.
tight ones.
Yeah. They're about 2 inches. Nearly a Speedo, basically.
Oh, man. But I think both of these games could be, or series could be really good series, but I'm going for Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
I hope they can win. I'm not sure they can. I think the Timberwolves got a pretty good thing going on right now.
So I see.
Anthony Edwards, he's a ball player. Yeah, he's one of the most exciting young players in the league.
And I'm not sure they can stop him. That's the problem with that.
NHL, can I talk about that for a quick moment?
Yeah, let's talk about the NHL.
Just the quickest moment. We had a pretty good series with the Stars and the Jets. Mm-hmm. Stars win, so they're off to the West Conference Finals against Edmonton, who didn't sweep Vegas, but Vegas got one win, and good to them. But Oilers going to be tough. So that's two really tough teams, man. That's going to be a really, really crazy one. I think Dallas has got it, but Edmonton is more talented for sure. All the predictions lined out good on my end from last week, but they were pretty cut and clear. However, the Leafs did take Florida to a game. Like it was a game seven. Yep. So I think the saying is death, taxes, and the Leafs losing in game seven of the second round of the playoffs. Those are the only things guaranteed in life. And then the Carolina, the Hurricanes win theirs. And the finals are looking pretty good. If I have to put my money, it's going to be Dallas versus the Hurricanes going into the Stanley Cup Final, and Dallas is going to
take it. NHL playoffs and the NBA playoffs, they last forever.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Well, when you got seven games and they move them around, you know, sometimes, you know, here's the deal with me is, and I think you'll remember this, at least in the NBA, and I'm sure NHL is the same way. When they went to a town, they played three nights in a row.
Right.
And then they may take a day off or travel. Then they'd go play whatever it was, 3-2-3 or whatever it was, 2-3-2 is what it was. But now because of TV, they may have 3 days between games.
Yeah.
And so it takes them forever to play.
Those days of playing ball like Jackie Moon and the tropics are over.
Yeah, I know. You're right about that.
But like when it gets to like the different finals, like could you imagine if it was let's go with Florida, the Florida Panthers versus the Edmonton Oilers. Let's say that it shakes out to be that as the Stanley Cup Finals. They'll have to play one day in Edmonton, then they're off for travel. Then that next day they're playing in Florida. Then one day off, then they're playing back in Edmonton.
They don't go 1-1-1-1, do they?
That's how.
Is it in hockey?
Yeah,
they don't do that. They don't do that in the NBA.
Yeah, they go 1-1. So every time you win a game, you've got to go defend that win in enemy territory.
Well, you got to take off some time for that.
Yeah, no, it's not like each consecutive day. There's always a day between games.
Yeah, right.
So the first one will be in Edmonton. The second one will be
in. So if there's seven games, it takes 2 weeks to play them.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is crazy.
But like Greg, like you were saying, NBA used to be 2-3-2.
Yeah.
You'd play two nights in a row, travel day. If you had to play three nights in a row, you did.
Yeah.
And then a travel day to play the other two. But
Yeah,
I mean, it's a seven-game series now takes 2 weeks.
Yeah. And anyway, I think we got some good conference finals in both hockey and in NBA. So I think it's going to be fun to watch. More importantly to me, is Razorbacks.
Yep.
Razorbacks took two or three from Tennessee, probably solidified them being a regional host.
Yeah.
And Ladybacks headed to the Super Regional and believe they're going to be hosting that too. But, you know, eight SEC teams won regionals. That's out of 16.
Yeah.
So that's pretty huge.
Yeah.
And out of their, it was 11 losses at one time, but out of their 12, did they lose?
No, they didn't lose in the region.
10 of their losses have been in conference play.
That's right.
So, I mean, that's
– yeah.
So, you're hosting a super regional, but the teams that have beat you, they're there too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's right. So,
you have a girl throw a no-hitter the other day?
Yeah, we did. That's right. One of the biggest shock to me out of the whole deal is St. Louis defeated Texas A&M.
Go St. Louis.
Yeah.
Whatever you are. Yeah. Monarchs. Let's call them the Monarchs.
Okay.
What are they?
Jayhawks.
I'm Googling that. I don't
trust I don't
the
know.
Bottle Caps.
No, Billikens.
What are they?
They're the Billikens.
The Billikens.
St. Louis Billikens. You look it up while you're talking about that. So the SEC tournament starts this week for the Razorback baseball team. They don't play till, I believe, it's Friday because they got a bye. They're the second seeded team right behind the Longhorns. You know, looking forward to big things out of the Razorbacks and Ladybacks. It's time for the Ladybacks to move on.
Yeah.
They've kind of underperformed, but looking forward to seeing them do better things.
Nice.
This coming weekend in the Super Regionals and on to Oklahoma City in the World Series. So one last thing, and I got this for Toad Thumper.
They're the Billikens.
I know.
Yeah. He knew it all along.
Yeah, yeah. Once I remember it, sometimes it takes me 3 days.
Yeah,
but once I remember it, I got it.
Sometimes you'll get a call from Greg at 3 in the morning. Billikens, they were the Billikens.
That's right. Yeah, you know, there. I was at a meeting the other day, and I was talking about it. Was like, so it's going to be me, it's going to be Tyler, and it's going to be.
I'm so forgetful.
And no, it John? Wasn't you, but it was somebody else. But I could not. And once I can't do it, I can sit here for 30 minutes and I'll never come up with Jeff Tuttle.
John Turtle.
Yeah. I just, you know, but and I know the name. John, you know, but it's just like that stuff is gone. Yeah, but, you know, somebody goes, you know. And I said, just wait, you'll get old. Yeah. Yeah. You'll get old too. But this last thing we got to talk about before we go,
one thing.
Just so, Cody, this is just for you.
Yeah.
An MJ jersey from 92-93 season sells for $2.6 million.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, you can get $2.6 million of Larry Bird's jerseys for that.
Yeah.
You're not going to say anything, are you, Tuttle?
I was just going to say, do you know what he might pay for a Larry Bird jersey? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
He probably has one.
He probably wears it every night when he goes to bed. I bet that's what he wears.
Pajamas.
Larry Bird pajamas.
Larry Bird over Michael Jordan. Like, that's wild.
Hey, you know what I got to say to that?
What? He's got a pair of fresh Jordans on. That's what he's got.
I haven't seen any birds lately.
Yeah, no. I think they're like sandals you wear on the beach.
Chuck Taylor.
Yeah, Chuck Taylor. Yeah. That's what Larry Bird wore.
Yeah.
Yeah, as did everybody back then.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
So, no arch in those.
No. Nope. Not at all.
None of those players would last. None of them would last in today's season anyway.
You're wrong.
Oh, yeah. They'd be fouled. They'd have so many fouls.
I'd love to see a Bill Laimbeer, Draymond Green matchup in today's NBA.
Oh, my gosh.
People just think Draymond's tough.
Yeah.
I mean,
the first time he touched Bill Laimbeer, Laimbeer slammed him to the ground.
Oh, enough.
I'm just telling you.
Yeah, enough.
You hadn't even watched it.
Yeah, I've seen Bill Laimbeer. Big oaf. He's an oaf compared to
calling that to his face?
I'm not. Hey.
Draymond Green, what is he?
He's, you know, whatever.
He's a big oaf, too.
He's better than him. He'll get around him.
Yeah. He'll get around him?
He'll figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
He better pass to Stephon.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
But anyway.
None of them hold a candle to LeBron anyway, so it's all good. You can talk about, you can squabble Michael Jordan or.
Does LeBron even have any shoes?
He's got shoes.
He plays barefoot.
He wears Jordans, I think.
Yeah, that's right. He wears Jordans.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wonder how many people wear Jordans in the NBA right now. You think they do?
I think but I think there's probably a better shoe now.
Yeah, I'm gonna look that up.
Yeah.
So
to be continued.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that. Anything else y'all got before we go?
No.
Okay.
I just appreciate y'all having me.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we appreciate you being here. Tony, we miss you. Thank you to all our sponsors for all they do for us each and every week. We couldn't do it without you. But most of all, thank you to the kids. You're the reason we do it. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.